scriptures this morning that I want to read. Comes from Mark, the book of Mark, the 7th chapter. Amen. The 7th chapter of Mark. I want to read to you 14 through 16. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears, hear." Father, we again thank you for the word that you left us. And we ask, O God, that you just open the scripture this morning to us. Lord, we might be able just to grasp that which you have for us. We know, Lord, that the message is here if we were successful. And we know, Lord, that this message this morning, O Father, it can make a difference in our lives if we allow it. We ask you, Father, to let us hear with that spirit for you. And let us, O Father, obey. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The scriptures in the 7th chapter of Mark there, the leaders of the country, the Pharisees and all those that might be supposed to know it all and have to be smart, they were trying to find fault with Christ. They came to him in the early parts of that scripture you'll read just prior to this. As they came, they was questioning Christ about his disciples, the way they were acting. They came to, when they ate, they failed to wash their hands. There's a lesson in that that we all could learn, as they were right in their thinking that they needed to wash their hands before they eat. That's common knowledge, because get rid of the germs of the world before you take them within you. And that's what they were thinking about, and they questioned Christ. They said, "Your disciples are eating with unwashed hands." They were not eating. Christ had looked on the situation, and he told them that what they were doing, these Pharisees and the leaders, were living under the traditions of their elders, of the old people going on by. They were following after the tradition more than they were after God. They were following the traditions that had been taught to them down through the years, but they had not allowed God to take priority. So, when Jesus spoke to them, he told them, if I can find it real quick. Yeah, in the 4th verse he says, "And when they came from the marketplace, except they washed, they ate not." Yet, any time that they had bought anything or brought it in for food, they had to prepare it, they had to wash it to make sure that there wasn't something on it. They were so much concerned about the human body and the taking in of germs and sicknesses and what have you, that they washed and cleaned and done everything they washed to. And down there in one of them other verses, he tells them that they washed their pots and their pans and even the tables. They got everything just all nice and clean. They had everything spick and span before they ate to try to keep down probably the sicknesses or diseases that were so easily spread that way. And which was good. But they had this priority over God himself. They had accepted the traditions of the handed down from generation to generation, But they had forgotten about what God would have them do. They had tradition over the presence of the Almighty God. Well, what in the world has that got to do with us? We wash our hands before we eat, don't we? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And that's it. It could be dangerous. Well, what's that got to do with us? Well, let's just turn that around a little bit and think maybe of tradition as they were upholding it. Into traditions in our lives today. We do things, we have everything cut and dried, we have everything just planned out exactly what we want. When we walk in the door of our church, we know exactly what we want. If you were 1,000 miles away from here this morning, you would know exactly what's taking place right now just simply by looking at your watch. Am I right or wrong? Yes, you can be gone, you can be not a part of this group, you can be anywhere in this world you want to be, and you can look at your watch on Sunday morning at a given time, and you can just about say, well, now the choir's getting up to sing. And now they're going to have their altar prayer. Now we're going to do this, and now we're going to do that, and you can walk her right down to the minute, and you get it down through tradition. We do things out of ritual. We do things because that's the way Pappy does it. We do things because, well, that's the way they worship back in the old time. It's not bad. It isn't bad. But do we put traditions first, or do we say we're going in to worship an Almighty God?
Amen.
Woo, yeah, there it is. There it is. Are we going to allow God to rule our services, or are we going to let the bulletin dictate to us what we do? Or are we going to allow tradition to dictate what goes on in here? Maybe we put traditions in the way that someone seeking the Almighty God can't find Him because we've got ourselves in the way. That's exactly what was happening here. Yes. Oh, it was good. And it certainly is good, and I will be the very last one to break traditions that we have held for years and years, but it will not interfere with someone finding Jesus Christ. It will not. You see, the needs of the hour, the needs that we have right here this morning, takes priority over anything that happened 100 years ago. Can you change anything by going back and remembering things that happened back years and years ago? Can you change anything? No, you can't. It's gone as fast as history. You can learn by it, but you can't change one thing. We wonder sometimes why we don't have church full. Well, I wonder, are we the problem? That hurt. Am I the problem? Am I, as pastor of this church, the problem that the pews aren't filled? Is that it? Or are people just kind of tired, sick and tired of hearing the same old thing over and over and over again? You know? I've heard that for years and years and years. Now we're going to hear it again. Same old story. Yes. When Jesus Christ becomes alive in your church, things will happen.
Amen.
Yes, when Jesus Christ comes alive in our church, things will move. You won't have to go out here and pull people in, because the power of the Holy Spirit is a drawing power beyond anything you or I can do. Yes. The Holy Spirit has more power than me going out here and knocking on doors and what have you, because that don't get you no place. I've proved that time and time again. It doesn't get you any place. Having big singing groups in and filling up the church and making a lot of noise and having all this, yes, you'll have a good time for an hour or two, then she's gone again. But, mister, let me tell you, When the Holy Spirit moves in a community, things happen. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a person, they move. Yes, that's what he was talking about. Your tradition. They were all wrapped up in it and what have you. He went on to say, down a little further in the scriptures there, that he was talking here about those things that was entering into a person from the outside. He was talking about those things they were talking about, those things that you eat, those things that you drink. Christ said himself, nothing from the outside would condemn a person. Is that the way that's written? He said, there is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. They was talking about eating and drinking and what have you. And you hear it every day, you hear it someplace. Is it wrong to have a drink? What Christ said. Is it wrong to eat this or that or the other thing? Is it wrong to do all these things? Well, friend, you can take either side of that argument if you want to. You can if you want to. Am I to stand here and tell you that if you take a drink, it's wrong? Am I supposed to tell you that? No, that's not my job. Christ said himself that it's not what goes in the outside. He didn't even claim it. He said those things that you take in from the outside go through your system and gone. But he said also, those things that defile the man come from within inside, from within the heart. Well, now, wait a minute here. Pastor, are you saying it won't hurt me to take a drink? I'm not telling you that at all. Don't ever think that I told you it was okay to take a drink. Don't let anybody tell you that I told you that it was okay. Because, you see, those things that we take in from the outside can affect the inside. Yes, they can make you say and do things that you would not do, and those will defile you. Where did it come from? Yes, from a false. Yes, from falseness that came in from the outside. Oh, yes. Material thing went right through you and went out. No problem at all. But what did it leave? The traces that are there. You see, those things. Yes, and you might take a drink and say, that didn't hurt me at all. And you may go on and you may drink and drink and drink and drink. First thing you know, you're drunk. You're doing things that you're out of your head. You're doing things that's not normal to you. You have changed things around now, and your heart is speaking. Things are coming out from the inside that you wouldn't have told at all. Yeah! Yes. Things that, you see how that can happen? People get high on dope. They get high on pills and all this, that, and the other thing, because it makes them feel good, and what happens? Well, the little pill that went through your system was didn't hurt them at all. But the thing that resulted out of that thing, it really tore them up and defiled them. Because they do and say things that is not right in the sight of God. So you see, that has two sides. And he said that it's not the thing that goes into you from the outside that defiles you, but that which comes out. Well, I'm do about anything I want to in this channel. Listen, I'm just do about anything I want to. Ain't no way. One of my little class, Sunday school class that I had back years and years and years ago, more years ago now than nice cold beer. And if I was sitting down there under the tree and enjoy that ice cold beer, I said, is that wrong? And she said, no, I don't think it would. You're right. There wouldn't be anything wrong. But supposing while I was sitting there under that tree enjoying that nice cold drink, that one of my class, Sunday school class, happened to walk up the river. And they looked down there and they saw their Sunday school teacher sitting under a tree drinking beer. Now what is it? You see, it's not what you're thinking, it's what comes out. The thing that you do as a result of that thing which you was in question about, let me tell you this. You never, ever done anything out of the will of God that He didn't warn you before He done it. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Everything that you ever done in your life contrary to the will of God, He warned you before you did it. Yes, He warned you before you took that first cigarette. Yes. He warned you before you took that first drink. He warned them before they took that dope. He warned you before any of these things you do. Yes, He warned you before that. No, no, no. Don't go there. I don't mean anything will hurt me. Nah, just one little snorting will hurt me at all. But one leads to another, to another, to another. First thing you know, you're sitting under the tree, a drinking a beer, and the Sunday school teacher's going to catch you. Yeah. Yeah. You see, it's not what goes into the mouth that follows the man, but what comes out. Those things that we project, those things, if you sit in here and you might be sitting up here in the choir, a sin, or you may sing a special, or you may offer the fanciest, floweriest prayer that's offered at the altar. You may be the top dog in the church. You may be the pastor. You may be this or that and the other thing. And you stand around Sunday, oh, yes, sir, boy, we're really right on top. We're right where we belong. We're right at the feet of Jesus. We're doing good. But then on Monday morning, you go out to Walmart and someone crosses your path or does something wrong and you lay them out. You're like an old grizzly bear. Yeah. You get in there and you just tear it to pieces. Oh, I'm just like, you know, you put it out of here. Yes. The image that you project from the pulpit, from the church, wipe that completely in seconds. Yes, we have to be on our guard every moment. Yes, we all lose our cool. Don't think we don't. We all are pushed to the limit. Yes, we are. Even Christ, when He was walking this earth, He was pushed to the limit. He was tested, He was tried just like you and I are. Yes, when He walked into that temple and He saw what was going on there, yes, it took... He must have, when He upset those tables and threw them people out of there and destroyed everything that they had, don't you think for a minute that He didn't have to repent for that? Yes. He had to say, Father, forgive me. He had to say, Father, forgive them. Yes. He made His point. Sometimes it's hard for us to grit our teeth, turn aside, and walk away. Sometimes it's hard, but that is the very thing that we need to do before we lose our cool. Yeah. Before we say things, you see, all those things that we've claimed to be here on Sunday morning, we have a good time, we sing, we have praise. And we get sometimes, not too often, but I wish it were more, we could get high. Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We can get clear above the world. We can live higher than anything that's here upon this earth.
Yes, we can do that.
The boy said one time, he said, it's not how high you jump on Sunday morning. It's how you walk on Sunday morning. It's how you walk when you land. Yeah. Yes. It's how you walk when you land, you see. He said there in his word, it's not what goes into the body that condemns the family, what comes out. One down there in that same chapter, in the 20th verse, he said, that which cometh out of a man that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Wow, that's a list and a half there. I read that list and I go down through there and look at those things. All of those things there, I could be guilty of. They all do. But thanks be to God, if we'll allow Him to control this old heart of ours, we can overcome. Oh yes, temptation will be there. Oh yes, Satan will be. You get in there and he'll stir you and he'll try to get you all mixed up and all this, that, and the other thing. But, as I said before, not one sin that you have ever committed that Christ didn't warn you first. Yes. Well, you say it happened so quick. I didn't mean to. Now you think a minute. Am I right or am I wrong? When we start getting angry at people, when that person crosses our path and does something we don't want to, what is the first thing that happens in you? Literally. Do you kind of get flustered? Do you kind of get just kind of hot between the ears or whatever? I mean, there's a feeling there that you kind of get, and it don't set you here. Yeah, it pushes you a little bit. And the first thing you know, the more they do, the more you do, the harder you get, and the quicker Satan pushes you. Get him, Satan. And the first thing you know, you spout it off. But the first thing that happened to you was you started getting this feeling of hot. Hot, but it's me, I don't know how it is you. But it's a warning. It's a warning. Right then and right there, you should say, thank you, Lord. Walk away. And let them have it. Yes. But we don't. We want to retaliate. We want to fight. It's within us. We want to do it ourselves. Yeah. Do it if you cross my path. Or I'll hate you. That's what's within us. But Christ can overcome that. And he didn't want it. He doesn't want it. And when he does, have the courage just to say, thank you, Lord. And get me behind me, Satan. We don't need it. Yes. Yes, he was telling these people, tradition is wonderful. Tradition is great. And it's something that we hold dear to our heart. Those things that have gone on in our lives and our past history. And as I said Wednesday evening, and it's so important for us to realize the fact that we should be so thankful for this morning. We should be so thankful that we're allowed to attend church here this morning, that we can be with our family, our friends, our church family, that we can serve God as we want to. We can allow just as much of the Holy Spirit upon us as we wish. We should be so thankful for it. Because believe me this, down the road, and it's not very far away, you will be looking back at this very hour and saying, oh, how I wish we could have that again. Think about it for a minute. Those of you that have been in this church for years, how you would love to go back and see the pews full as they once were, as the Spirit was moving, as people were just being blessed. Yes. How you wish that could be again right now. Yes. Well, think about this, friend. This day is the day that you will be thinking about in the future. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, I'm sure you have, that there has become, as the Bible prescribed, a falling away. That it seems like that the churches are just diminishing more and more and more. And it's not going to get any better. I'm sorry, but it isn't. Because the world is drawing farther and farther away, allowing Satan to have a bigger hold on families, upon communities, upon everything. He's got the upper hand, he thinks. But just in a very few days, God's going to say, look down on this, just as he did in the days of Noah. He's going to look down on this world and he's going to say, it's become an evil place. He's going to say, son, go get my church. Go get my church. And he's going to make that appearance. Just as the candle was lit this morning, the first week, looking forward to that coming of Jesus Christ. Looking forward for the day when he says, church, lifted out of all this. Wow! Yes. And then, those times when the church, this little building was full, and all the little churches around the country was full, just think what it's going to be when they're all combined together in one great big service in the sky. Yes. There'll be no need for Bible. There'll be no need for songbook. There'll be no need for that because Jesus Christ will be there right in the midst. Wow. Every knee bow and every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is here. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you, O God, for your goodness, your mercy, for your promise, your assurance, O Lord, that you are here. That the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, can overcome anything of this world if we just but allow it. Lord, that your power and your might can conquer Satan in our lives if we just allow it. We ask you, Father, to touch each one of us. Make us aware, Lord, when these evil comes upon us, that we can thwart off the fiery darts of Satan. We ask you, Lord, to help us that we can be that light, that beaming, shining light that the whole world might be able to see you through us. Use us, O God,